Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Welcome back for just a day or two.
Yeah, just came back. Just splitting my spring breaks. Flew back from Florida to record the Cabin Cast before I go to Mexico.
Priorities.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It has nothing to do with school and work. It's just the Cabin Cast.
Just the Cabin Cast. I haven't even seen my family or my coworkers.
I know. It has felt long to get together and record some new ones, but that's kind of why sometimes we record several at one time.
Yeah, we batch record on occasion, yeah, for sure.
So that we can make sure we get some new content out to you guys often, because we love getting the feedback we get from everybody. We had a great number of comments after some of our most recent episodes, and I wanted to share some of them. We heard from Andrea, and she said she really enjoyed the beer cast. What a job that would be to approve and disapprove the labels. FYI, I buy pretty labeled beer all the time.
Yeah.
We talked about
that. Thanks, Ken Battle, Martin.
That's great. I bet so many people do buy their beer by the label. So thanks for that message, Andrea. And then Sue was responding to our podcast about cabin fever. And she said, loved your cabin fever episode. Really gave me a lift during my forced outside walk when my nose hairs were freezing. And we can all relate to that. Today, sure. I think we can relate to that too.
Yeah.
The wind is crazy.
Yeah.
The last few days.
Yeah. There's nothing like the wind coming off the giant melting snow piles.
Right. Yeah. You really scheduled your vacations to warm climates well this year.
Yeah. It did time out. Yeah, just about perfect.
Because we got 16 inches of snow. I was back for that Saturday.
Yeah, I was back for that. My arm still hurt. That was the heaviest snow to shovel in my life. It rained. Well, let's see. It snowed 4 inches. Then it rained on that snow. Then it snowed like 16 inches on top of the slush that had, and then it all froze. And it was crazy. It was brutal. We had to close the store on that Saturday, and then Sunday was just a mess, just even getting out of the house.
Yeah. My husband got stuck in the driveway. He was going to go down and plow. He has a car dealership, and he was going to go help plow the lot.
Yeah.
And he got stuck in the driveway until he could get plowed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it's the crazy kind where you wake up to
the mess. It was fine. Like generally fine, like reasonable Wisconsin winter weather the night before. And no offense to any weather folks out there, weather people, but they haven't really been batting 1,000 on their snowstorms this year where we're right at.
They canceled school Friday and nothing happened.
Exactly. So you don't really feel like anything's going to happen until this. So this is the first one where they actually said, oh, it's going to be bad. And then it was bad.
You know, one of the fun parts though, that day, by the afternoon, the sun came out and it was warm sun. It felt like when I was growing up spring break skiing in Colorado.
Yeah.
And we took the dogs for a walk and then came back and my husband and I were going to work out. And he said, do you want me to pull your spin bike outside? And I did my spin routine on my bike outside on the driveway, surrounded by snow piles taller than me.
Oh, that's cool.
In the sunshine. It was so much fun.
Oh, that
so
is.
I posted it on my, my White Arrows home feed. So some of our listeners that follow me there may have seen that, but it was super fun.
Cool.
So yeah, it was fun to get comments on several of those past episodes. People were commenting a lot. I said, we get a lot of comments when we talk about food.
Yeah.
And we share about that. And a lot of people were excited when we talked about the Racine Kringles and how having something special to serve when you have guests for breakfast. A lot of people said that they love it because they can get those Kringles at their Trader Joe's.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of people were saying, yeah, I love those. I get them at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I have some grocery store envy up here because, right? And I like, we have wonderful grocery stores up here. They're really nice, but you don't get some of the specialty things that you can get at like a Trader Joe's or even the bulk things that I need more and more as my kids get older and eat more and more.
Packing lunches.
It'd be nice to have a Costco a little bit closer.
I know people that travel, like if they're going to know they're going to go through Madison or somewhere, they take a cooler with them so that they can pack up.
They can hit Costco
or Trader Joe's.
Yeah. That's because we had my son Lachlan had, oh man, I think there were seven. So six buddies over for a quick Easter egg hunt that my wife put together. And I had to just like go out in my boots and hide these Easter eggs around our playground that was buried in snow. And, you know, normally it sticks up pretty high in the air, but the snow is so tall. I couldn't walk on top of the crust, but these little 6-year-olds, of course, can just scamper all over. But I'm like,
little rabbits, yeah, and then you're the big.
Yeah, this is the easiest Easter egg hunt ever. They could just follow my boot tracks to every single egg on the entire place.
You'll have to get white eggs.
Yeah, yeah. So they swarmed them up, but then we had kind of a spread laid out of just, you know, sliced up strawberries and pretzels, and they hit like a swarm of locusts. They just came in, and there's like, you blink and all the food is just gone. I'm like, holy cow, that was a lot of food just gone in an instant.
But they used so much energy. Oh, they were starving.
They were starving. So that was fun.
I actually, bringing up egg hunts, it'd be fun to hear how people get creative with how they do their egg hunts. And up here, some people have to do it inside this time of year too.
Yeah.
Because it isn't great outside. My daughter had an idea this year. She told all her siblings, and I was like, okay, I sign up for this idea.
Yeah.
They're each going to have their own color of Easter eggs.
Okay.
So like maybe she'd get all the pink, and Baron would get all the blue, and Brooks would get all the yellow, and they're going to hide their color eggs.
Okay.
And then everybody has to go find them. And whoever finds the most, there's like prizes depending on how many of each color you find.
And you do real eggs?
No.
Okay.
Plastic eggs.
Yeah, because then you forget one and you ends up smelling pretty bad.
When but
you
find I don't it. Have to hide them this year.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to just sit up there and watch them run and find them. And I know people that have older kids too, that they hide little beers or things instead of eggs.
Oh, fun.
You know, it depends on the age of your children, obviously.
But yes.
As the kids get older, you have to get a little more creative about how to keep the traditions going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, if your 30-year-old child is sad because they don't get an Easter basket anymore.
That's tough. That's a tough life.
Do you get an Easter basket?
Not anymore.
No. I don't either. But I wouldn't complain if I did.
No.
Just kidding, Mom.
Yeah.
Because we know that my mom and dad listen.
They'll ship it off.
Yeah, it'll be there. But we had another listener give us information of, they got so excited about the Boy Scout story.
Yeah. So we had people out there that were reading up on the story, and then they checked it out and did some follow-up and found another amazing article that I want to read about this. So this is the Boy Scout story that we talked about in our episode that was just a couple before, Boy Scouts versus County Board. And it's these Boy Scouts and County Board that are fighting over the ownership of this like rustic cabin that is on a park property, but the Boy Scouts say they own it. So I'm going to read from this article because there's a lot more information that wasn't in the first article we had. And it really paints an even better picture of how kind of crazy this battle is getting. This is from New York Post. So this is on February 11th, 2023. Property battle over Westchester Boy Scout cabin used by young JFK. So now they're bringing historical, name dropping historical figures. And there's a pretty cool picture with the canoe and the cabin with the stone fireplace. That's neat. We shared that on our Instagram. These Boy Scouts feel dishonored in a fight over the rights to a storied cabin once used by young JFK.
And honor's a big thing for Boy Scouts.
It is.
So
yeah.
They know what that means.
So, I mean, they're getting close to duel, where the Boy Scouts are going to be challenging the board to a duel. The Bronxville Scout Committee and Westchester County are locked in a legal battle over who really owns the cabin, which is located in an aptly named park, Scout Field. The county contends the cabin has been its property since 1925 and that the scouts have been discourteous doing unapproved work at the site, including putting down excessive quantities of wood chips.
Wow. I'd like to see the rest of this county's rules.
Yeah. Right now, we're currently under an order of eviction by the county, said Joseph Steinman, president emeritus of the Bronxville Scout Committee, the nonprofit that manages the cabin. A state Supreme Court justice in Westchester recently rejected the group's bid for an injunction to stop its ejection from the cabin. The committee, which is separate from the beleaguered Boy Scouts of America, intends to appeal. The Bronx cabin has been the site next to the Bronx River and Parkway in Yonkers, just over the border from Bronxville, since 1919, when the Scouts were given a permit to build it there by the commission in charge of amassing land for the new parkway. After the Kennedy family moved to Bronxville in 1927, the future president joined Troop 2, which is among those that have been using the cabin for decades. Kennedy was the first president to have been a Boy Scout. The building is now used regularly by some 300 Scouts for meetings during the week and rented out to the community on weekends. The County has accused the scout group of not being transparent in its finances. The scouts get up to $700 a night for the rentals, but say they just cover their expenses to operate the cabin with the revenue. The thing essentially runs at break even. The idea that anyone's making money off this is ludicrous, said Rob Diekert, a local scout leader. The county says that in 1925, it took ownership by statute of all land given to the Parkway Commission, and the transfer included the cabin. The park includes baseball fields and walking paths. Steinman and Deeker conceded that the county may own the land but has no claim to the cabin. The group contends in legal papers the county has paid nothing towards the cabin maintenance or repairs, including rebuilding it after a 1988 fire. The two sides didn't always have an adversarial relationship. The Westchester County Legislature proclaimed in 1989, congratulated the Bronxville Scout Committee for restoring the cabin, for keeping up the Boy Scout program. But they stepped forward in 2020 with accusations of unapproved construction work, including erecting signs that said private property. County Executive George Latimer, who has accused scouts of unwarranted entitlement, said there was no record of Boy Scouts owning the cabin, that the county could be held liable if something were to go wrong in the building. He said the county wanted to run the facility as part of Westchester-wide park improvements. They're frankly arrogant and surly. That's what he's saying about the Boy Scouts. They assert they own it. I was on a conference call with a county executive. I have never been arrogant in my life. I live by a scout's always courteous. So they are definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
And they have some history of taking care of the place. So.
And they rebuilt it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, but it also goes to show you, it's like, get your documents in order ahead of time.
Right.
Make sure that before you're investing time and money in things that you don't own.
Yeah.
Or technically, I mean, it just creates a lot of drama.
Right.
Good for the news organizations and the cabin cast, though.
Well, I'm just wondering if there was a conversation later about if we just hadn't done that one extra shovel load of wood chips.
Yeah, I can understand the county being completely devastated that there was too many wood chips in the park.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever been to a park where you're just like, oh, my gosh, this park would be so beautiful if they didn't have so many wood chips?
Oh, this is
brutal.
So thanks, Tony, for sending that one in. So we appreciate all those messages from everybody. Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer. I had brought some articles that I had found that were interesting, some other cabins in the news. It's fun, too, when we read these articles because they kind of take us around the country.
Yeah.
You know, the Boy Scouts.
And the world.
The world, yeah. So we were in out east with the Boy Scouts, and now we're heading to Jackson Hole. So this is taxidermy cabin gets new life as Victor home. Like a giant Lincoln log set, the old taxidermy cabin on Kelly Avenue is being dismantled so it can be put back together again. Cut apart in chunks, groups of logs got a swatch of colored paint so that reassembly of the two-story, two-bedroom cabin would be less of a guessing game. Quickly but carefully, Leo Sanchez and his Leo's construction crew picked apart the building last week. The logs are headed 25 miles east over Teton Pass to Sanchez's 3.5-acre property in Victor, Idaho. In the cabin's place, Habitat for Humanity of the Greater Teton Area, in partnership with Teton County, will build 18 affordable homes, 6 at a time. Habitat is the nonprofit that provides housing for the lowest income locals. People who qualify for the new homes will need to make between 50% and 80% of the area's median income for a family. Over the hill, Sanchez said the logs will sit on his property until he gets building permits to reassemble the old taxidermy shop. He plans to build workforce housing. Some of my workers live with friends. They live with other people that have their families, Sanchez said. I'd like to see their children have their own home. Sanchez found the cabin through Shacks on Racks, a company run by Esther Judge Lennox that matches houses that would otherwise be demolished with families who need them and have the land to put them on. So several cool things in this article.
Yeah.
I mean, this Shacks on Racks that helps find these houses.
That's a cool name.
Right? Yeah. And then I know we see up here where we live that housing, affordable housing, is
a huge challenge.
A huge challenge. Yep. And then housing for workers. So a lot of businesses do either buy an old motel or try to restructure something so that it can hold workers.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's something I know a lot of people are trying to work on in a general sense, but there's not tons of land available, and it's not always easy with building materials and to get stuff up and then have it be affordable.
Right.
Is a bit of a challenge, but that's one of the reasons in the area that it is tough, especially some of the jobs, like where they need a nice place to live and a quality housing, but there's just not the setup up here that makes it tough.
Yep. And then it's expensive for the business owners. I appreciate their creativity and trying to make things work so they can give some people places to live. I know that there's problems that get run into too, though, is people are trying to make kitchens out of places that aren't kitchens.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There's been some fires and things where having a hot plate or something else. And
yes,
quite the topic that people could get into. So I thought that part was interesting. I mean, habitat, obviously, what a great way to use that land when the cabin leaves. And I loved hearing about how they were taking apart the cabin, you know, log by log, like Lincoln Logs, and then painting it so that they knew how to put it back together.
Marking it. Yeah, that's always an interesting puzzle.
Right.
Where they have to number the logs and keep them organized and stacked a certain way and kind of reverse it in their storage, then put it back off. And then at roughing it, it used to be called the Gateway to the Northwoods. There were these two towering pine trees that came down in kind of a famous storm, apparently. And there's a gas station there that everyone used to stop at. And the old log house that either they lived in was there. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Is there any value to it? But they didn't take care of the roof. So the logs at all the connection points had started to rot. And you know, then you get people that come in and be like, what'd you guys do with that old house? You didn't get rid of it or burn it down. We're like, there was nothing of value there. That was just powdered. The logs were bad. There's no way to, I mean, we would have had to restore every log basically just brand new and rebuild it and paint it the same color to keep it. And at that point, it's just not, it's not feasible.
The Cabin Cast is brought to you by Roughing It in Style. On the Cabin Cast, we talk a lot about making memories. But what makes a home or getaway more likely to create those cherished times? The Interiors team at Roughing It in Style is here to help you find that perfect memory-making balance in your home. The balance between gathering and privacy, form and function, relaxation and entertaining. We have two showrooms stocked with furniture, decor, and lighting. Our up north store is in Harshaw, Wisconsin, 10 miles south of Minocqua, and our out west store sits on the doorstep of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. Find out more and plan your visit today at roughingitinstyle.com.
Well, it makes me think of another article that I brought in, because this is a lonely log cabin in Milford needs some attention. The Historical Society seeks your help. But this cabin, so what goes in your head is this cat. Oh, it must be from the 1700s.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yep.
But this one's actually from 1982.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if that makes me historical or what, but.
So the title's Lonely Cabin Needs Attention?
A Lonely Cabin Needs Some Attention.
Yeah, this is like a Craigslist personal ad.
Right. But it makes me think of your little cabin, because it brings up that decision of what you preserve and what you don't, and so many reasons go into it.
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
Before I read this, I'd love to hear people, if anybody has stories out there, though, that our first article reminded them. If we've done episodes where we've talked to people that have moved a cabin.
Yes.
But I don't think we've talked to anybody that's taken theirs apart and moved it and put it back together yet.
Right.
So I'd love to hear anybody that has a story like that. And then if anybody, you know, has thoughts on what goes into making those decisions for, you know, the age of the cabin, or like you said, there was nothing that you could do to help preserve it that wouldn't have made it a brand new cabin pretty much anyways.
For sure. For sure. And I know we've had clients up here that have to use, like, keep one wall up to make it. So if they want to rebuild their cabin, they have to use the same footprint because they're too close to the water for the current rules. And if they remodel the cabin, they have to like reuse one wall that's closest and then build off of that so that they're still within the certain, you know, county rules. So they're not making the footprint bigger than what it was, because any new construction has to be further back.
Right.
So it creates this conundrum. So they can do that. They build it in the same footprint. And then a lot of times they go up, right?
They
add another story on top of it to get some more space, but they're not changing the physical footprint of it. And luckily, at a lot of places, there's not homes, like in a city, there's a lot of like, and they call it air rights, where if you build a building and someone, you're blocking someone's view and you pay for this amazing view, and then someone knocks down the building next to you and puts up a taller building and blocks the view, you paid all this money, you can destroy people's real estate value in a city. Okay. Some of that happens up here, probably very rarely, because usually the view is like right out towards the lake or the water where we're at. And if you have land, you're usually not close enough to another person's building, if you're not on the water, that your view is going to be ruined. Right. Where that happens a lot down in New Glarus, where I live, is you'll be up on a hill, and then your neighbor will buy the property next door, and then they'll build a big cabin, and where you had like a wooded lot, now there's a house. It might be 300-400 yards away, but the view just isn't quite the same. There's no real protection for that. But it's interesting if you go straight up with the cabin.
Yeah.
And, you know, next door, you just have to be, you know, cognizant of those things. You might not always make your neighbors happy.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home, and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer.
Well, we've talked about houses that people have had to take down, like the original little cottage or cabin, and they've saved the doors. Or they've saved some beams.
Or a piece of carpet. I told that story.
Yes, or the carpet. But I haven't thought about where they build off the whole wall. So have you seen one where it's actually a cabin wall and they leave it with a chinking and everything exposed?
I don't know if it's like an old cabin wall. I just know that take like an old, you know, a cottage that was built in the 60s.
Right.
And they'll have to physically keep the wood in the wall, and then they recover it with the siding and make it look good. But It's interesting. It's like that. I don't know if it's like an old ship story, or I'm just thinking of a story where if you have a ship, or it's just a thought experiment, if you have a ship and over time you replace every single board as they wear out at different times as they wear on, do you still have the same ship, even though nothing in the entire ship is the same, but it looks the same, the vibe's the same. The name's the same on the ship, but every single thing about it's been replaced from wear and tear over time. It's just an interesting idea. Is like, is your cabin the same cabin? Well, if you keep an entire wall, it's
philosophy
sort of
101.
It. Yeah, I know.
We're just, the cabin cast.
So write in if you have opinions on whether or not
it's a new boat or a new cabin.
Well, it's like a person too, you know, as you shed stuff. And it's like you become new over time.
That is true.
Yeah.
I love like when you go to, you know, let's pretend somebody's made a loft home out of a warehouse.
Right.
You know, anything where they leave the exposed brick or the exposed beams of things. So I think that's almost a beautiful thought to have, if you had a cool wall to keep it in there.
Oh, yeah. There's that gal that we met at the Cranberry Marsh, a well-worn story.
Yes.
And I think she has a really amazing shop you should check out in New Glarus when you visit, where my in-laws, my brother-in-law, my sister have Hutch and Hyde, which is really an awesome gift shop. And right kind of across the street from that's Well-Worn Story. And they took the wall down and there's this amazing flower mural, I think from like Gold Medal Flower. Have you seen that?
Yeah, on her stories? Yeah, she has a really good picture of it.
It's just really incredible where they just tore it down. There's this incredible art, you know, advertising artwork that's up that I love that stuff.
That'd be another fun thing for listeners to share with us, like stories of what you found when you've gone up in the attic.
Remodeled, or took carpet out and you got beautiful hardwood floors or take a wall down in the old cabin. I mean, we tell all the stories about like old cabin found in new home remodel.
You got a whole cabin.
Yeah, there's a cabin hidden inside things, but it's just kind of cool to think that you can buy a place and then discover a piece of history that adds to the aesthetic and the value of it.
Yeah. Well, this lonely log cabin that needs some attention. So it's little Craigslist ad, dating ad. The Historical Society needs your help. So this was published April 5th. So this was very recent, 2023, in case anybody's going to decide they want to help. In the center of what was, in the 1800s, the Milford Public Square stands a log cabin modeled after homes of that era. But contrary to the attention it may have drawn in that time period for its location, the 13 by 15 foot structure may well escape the notice of modern area residents with its spot in the quiet Southside Park on West Huron Street. The Milford Historical Society would like people to notice it now. A lot of people don't know it is there, or they know, but they don't pay attention, said Daniel Crawford, director of fundraising for the Historical Society. We want to breathe life into it and revitalize it. The cabin is a replica of what settlers would have built around 1832 for their homes. It was constructed in 1982 to commemorate Milford's sesquicentennial, and now 4 decades after that momentous occasion, repairs are desperately needed, including replacement of the roof's cedar shingles and some rotted white pine logs in the walls. A GoFundMe titled Save the Log Cabin, Milford, Michigan, was recently launched with the goal of raising $10,000 for the cost of repairs. Despite the dire state of the roof, Wilson said the structure's well-built foundation kept the log walls in mostly good condition. The Historical Society hopes to raise the funds quickly in order to have a log cabin restoration company do the work this summer. Once the restoration is complete, Wilson hopes to host more Historical Society programs at the cabin and in Southside Park, including storytellers and cultural musicians, as well as educational programs on early colonial life, mid-1800s gardening, and heritage cooking. I love going to little historical villages. Yep. I love the idea of doing things in the park there, the storytellers, the reenactments, all those things that you could bring your family to learn new things. So I think their ideas are really, really worthwhile. But it you know, when you talk about 1982, that seems like not very long ago to me. And
right.
then I hear it's 40 years. I'm like, whoa. Okay, time went fast.
And also like, okay, we're going to build this cabin. We only expect it to last 40 years. And then it was like, we talk about cabins from the 1800s all the time.
Right.
And if you take care of things, you don't have to have a GoFundMe. Although right. I should do a GoFundMe. 40-year-old human looking for a few updates and needs right. some TLC.
I think one of the problems that could happen is, and probably a lot of people that are listening are involved in nonprofits in their communities. There's so much turnover with directors.
Yeah.
And with boards.
Yes.
And, you know, that may be some of the issues with the Boy Scouts too, because as these things change so often, how is the information
shared and kept
on?
Absolutely.
You know, the standard for how to keep things.
Yeah. It just takes one broken link in the chain and it makes things very complicated for the people. Cause you have like, usually there's like someone who's super organized, does an amazing job, and then it kind of slacks off for a while, and then someone comes back in and revitalizes it. But it's really hard to connect the people that were doing a great job when there's someone in the middle that's kind of mucked things up.
Right. Because you think, oh, well, they could have put maintenance funding into the plan in the 80s so that it would be go on forever and you wouldn't have to rebuild it. Yeah,
put
it
a metal roof over the shingles so that the logs aren't rotting in the walls.
But so many times there's just, like you said, a missing link along the way, and then it's hard to rebuild after that.
Yeah, for sure. It's like what we talked about, a stitch in time saves nine type of thing.
Right.
It's like the same thing with keeping your home and cabin updated and in good shape.
Or your workout plan.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? It's amazing how fast when you're working out, it takes so long to get back in shape, but so quick to get.
To slide back. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So it's the same thing for those poor little cabins.
It's not fair.
Right. Yeah. So if a cabin sits, you know, houses, if they sit empty for too long, then it really, they need the life inside of them.
And, yeah. To keep an eye out.
Yeah. So some interesting articles from around the country, out west and out east and then in the Midwest. So.
Yeah.
We also had a song recommendation sent to us on Instagram. There's so many ways to share with us. You can email us. You can message us on Facebook, on Instagram. I'll give you Eric's phone number. You can give him a call any time of day.
Call any time of day or night. It's totally fine.
It's just not when we're recording.
Yeah. Well, that's fine too.
But no, we got a message from Robin on Instagram of a great band that she... or duo that she wanted us to share.
Yeah, so this is a band called Dury. It's a brother and sister indie rock band out of Minnesota. Austin Dury and Taryn Dury. They don't have a ton of information like an about page that we usually read, but their music is really fantastic. We loved it, and thank you so much for recommendations. We love when people send us music ideas too. And this is a brand new single from 2023 called Bubble of My Gum, which is really great.
That title's awesome.
Yeah.
My honeycomb, the bubble of my gum, your Saturday morning, the cocoa on my puffs, you're the anticipation before the fireworks go off, you're the quick contemplation between the flash and the pop, you're the Mike to my Pippin, you're the cola to my Coke, you're the last second red shell. Saying it'll be alright. You're a warm pair of socks put on fresh out the dryer. You're a plump golden marshmallow kissed by the fire. You're my silver lining.
Okay, which compliment are you going to give Sam first all those ideas?
I know. I actually loved the Mario racing.
Yeah.
Did you get to catch that one?
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I want to go back and listen again with the lyrics open.
Yeah. That's what I was reading. You're the last second red shell on the old Rainbow Road. Is it a Mario go-kart racing from like Nintendo?
Well, and I loved, if I was going to say something to Brian, I would probably have to say, you're the Mike to my Pippin.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you would call him the Mike to your Pippin or you're the Pippin to my Mike.
Right. What you, yeah. I mean, what a creative song from all the just as you were finishing this, our little part we were playing. I love the s'mores one
too. Yeah, you're a plump golden marshmallow.
Maybe we could leave plump out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Golden.
You're a golden marshmallow to my fire.
But no, those were great. I love it. I love the little, you know, it would be fun for the kids hearing that song too.
Yes.
I can hear that being a fun road trip song.
Absolutely. So we'll link to that as we always do in the show notes and put it up in our music.
You can follow them on Instagram and listen to their other songs as well. And if you, I think they share also in their stories highlights where they're in concert and you could see them.
Yeah.
So they're probably really great to watch live. So thank you for sending that, Robin. And we also had Wendy shared how much she loves our Spotify playlists. So just a reminder to everybody that the music that we share and that we enjoy, we put into playlists on our own Spotify channel. So you can listen to those anytime. Just link in and listen.
Absolutely.
So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode.
follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.